James Gunn has announced 5 new TV shows that are part of his plans for the DC Universe. So that's what we're talking about in this episode of Legends of Podcasting. So joining me in the Wave Rider, we have...
Stu.
Rob.
And I'm Liam. So this is the third episode in a series of episodes that we've done about his plans for the DCU. So if you haven't heard our other ones, be sure to check them out as well. We've got one that's talking about his plans for the universe as a whole, as well as Elseworlds. We have another episode talking about TV shows, talking about the movies. And this one, we're talking about the TV shows. So let's get into it. So there's 5 different shows we're talking about. There's a few of these that we could talk about for a bit more. I say, let's start off on ones that we can just quickly get out of the way. Waller. There's going to be a show, Waller. And as we know, James Gunn did The Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. So Amanda Waller being The Suicide Squad. Now that he's got control of the universe, he's killed off everything else except for Suicide Squad and Peacemaker. So naturally, he's keeping Amanda Waller around and giving her her own TV series. So, Stuart, what do we know of this? I think it's very little.
The only thing I know about it is that it is going to have... her name
Viola Davis, the actress.
Viola Davis, thank you. And there's going to be members of the Peacemaker cast in the show as well. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what else, because I know she's an evil, conniving, manipulative bitch, but I don't understand how you can make a TV show out of it totally, because the main thing is to bring people together, make a Suicide Squad, send them on missions, and sit behind a desk. So I'm kind of curious, maybe she's on the run, or maybe she's like someone's chasing her, or I don't know.
I think you can absolutely, she's the person in charge of a secret branch of the government. And she's just a big badass. So she's a big tough woman who you're not going to mess with. I can absolutely see a series being based around her. It's going to be interesting. What characters you're going to see
antagonist?
Yeah, who is going to be the one that she's against? Who's this big bad that she's going to going to cover her story arcs? It's going to be interesting, but we don't know much more about it. But we do know that she was already in these 2 prior Suicide Squad movies and a little bit in Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm. Black Adam, she's in there as well.
Yeah. Yes. So we've got that to look at. If anyone's not familiar with the character already, take a look at that. It's that exact version of the character and actress that's going to be taking it on this show. So the next one we have is he's doing the same thing that he did in the Marvel Universe, where they were stuck and they're like, well, we don't own the licenses to all the characters that we want at the time. So they were like, who's left? They got the bucket, they were the barrel, they were looking at it and they scraped to the very bottom of the barrel. They're like, what's this thing? Guardians of the Galaxy. Never heard of it. Have you heard of it? No? You heard of it? No? No one's heard of it. It's great. We'll do whatever we want with it. And he took Guardians of the Galaxy and turned some old characters that no one knew or cared about and turned them into something that people love. He did a great job on that. And now he's decided to do the same thing with the DC Universe with Creature Commandos. So, Rob, why don't you give us a bit more info about what Creature Commandos are?
Well, there really isn't a lot. I'm not familiar with them, although I've seen Frankenstein has shown up a lot more in recent comics, recent-ish comics, as one of the monsters. But from what I understand from what he said in his interview and his Twitter feed, this is the group that was originally put together to fight the Nazis in World War II. Of like literally Frankenstein's monster. I can see from the image he's put up on the podcast where you got the Bride of Frankenstein in there, some other crazy stuff as well. So it might even be a load of the old Universal horror style, but not legally safe knockoffs of the Universal style horror monsters.
They're public domain at this point.
I think I heard somewhere, or it was in that it's going to be a 7-part animated show. Mm. I think I might have heard that from something else. But what I'm curious about is it was that during his talk, it was that bit that he really pushed on. And this is the kind of thing that we're going to bring into live action as well. So the people that voice the animated show,
yes,
is going to bring into. So they're going to do a live action version of it as well. It's going to be quite interesting.
It'll be interesting because as I think you, Rob, had mentioned that he is interested in Justice League Dark, which is not amongst his plans. But characters like the Creature Commandos can have a natural tie-in to a dark universe. If you're doing Justice League Dark, the dark kind of characters, you've got some like classic monsters here on the Creature Commandos. Makes a lot of sense that you will get some kind of crossover on the live action. So it's kind of interesting. So, but let's now move on to, well, I guess we've got three other shows. I'll end on the one that we are going to be most excited for. So let's jump first of all to Paradise Lost, which is going to be a Game of Thrones style or esque series based on Themyscira and takes place before the first Wonder Woman movie. So it's before Wonder Woman, before Diana has left Paradise Island and come to the land of man.
So potential introduction of a new Wonder Woman if Gal Gadot is not going forward.
Yes. What does it say? Is it set pre, like way pre Wonder Woman? Is it like 100,000 years before, or is it just before?
We don't know. All that we know is it's before, and there's so much history there. It's just like saying you're going to base something, a show on Krypton, as we know. It's like you have a lot of freedom to do something there.
Like, I'm curious, again, and that is similar to the Waller one, is who's going to be antagonist, because they kind of live in peace. They obviously trained to be warriors, but they live in peace because they're on a hidden island. Monsters coming down.
They've said Game of Thrones-esque as well, so it could be a bit of political power play. You've got, if you're a bunch of, I don't know if they're going to go with the immortal aspect of the Amazonians having been on the island for all these hundreds of thousands of years living as they are. So if you don't like Hippolyta and she's been in queen for millennia, then maybe it's time you think you should rule. Yeah, you can see there's a little bit of these characters getting a bit pissed off with that. The only thing I'll say is, if it's more Game of Thrones Season 1 and less Game of Thrones Season 8, it could be good.
I think they all know that they should all know that anyway. So, I'm just looking forward to seeing what it looks like, because, I know they're not going to do the same as the Snyderverse, but the Themyscira on the Snyderverse was beautiful, and I loved the whole, like, all the armor and designs and stuff they did and that kind of stuff, and it was really cool. So they're going to have to obviously make it different, but still make it really cool at the same time. So I'm interested to see what that looks like.
I mean,
yeah, I'll stop. You can have, if you, I mean, you go in the comics and you look on, even in like the old animated Wonder Woman movie, there is fighting that happens on Paradise Island.
It's not always peace.
There is conflict that goes on there. So I think that there's a wealth of stuff that they can pull from for that. And I think it makes sense that you could probably take the Gotham kind of approach where, like with Bruce Wayne, was just a young minor character in it who occasionally like pops up in things, was always meant to be more minor than he was, according to the original interviews. So they could do a similar thing with this and make Hippolyta the main person on this series. And Diana, maybe in season one is when Diana gets made out of clay. So you're starting off literally, Diana's just going to be a baby this series.
The alternative would be that if you're doing a lot of political intrigue and you've got factions that want to split away from her, that because they've all been immortal and they've all had this time to brew, that making a new blood, making Diana out of, if you're going with the clay aspect, or whether it's the daughter of Hippolyta and Zeus, bringing a new person to unify everything on the islands would be the way they're going to go with it, and that's like the end of the series, to introduce the new Diana, to introduce her as the new character going forward.
I hope they go the clay route. I've always liked that one. You know, the idea that she's kind of created it and it's this kind of supernatural kind of thing. I hope they go down that route, but as I say, we don't know too much about that, and we've only got so much time we can do in this episode, and there's two other shows to talk about. So obviously we'll jump to the next one, saving the best till last. So before we get to the best one, Green Lantern. There's going to be a Green Lantern.
Just wind you up there. Wind you up. You
know what I'm talking about, Green Lantern. I mean, let's put this right there, right? The people that have...
Well, it's called Lanterns. Right, yeah, it's not called Green Lantern.
Hal Jordan and John Stewart, is what he said, right? Based.
Yeah.
It's going to be. He said True Detective, and when I thought that, I meant like a real detective show. But speaking of flying with Rob, he thinks it means like the show True Detective,
which means each season's different people.
So I'm. Well, let's put this. We've been speaking for people that have been subscribed for us for ages and watched all our reactions. I think pretty much since the first show we reacted to back in Krypton, we've always said how much we want a Green Lantern show. And they brought out this rumor of doing this weird one, which didn't have any of the sort of main characters in.
Green Lantern Corps.
It wasn't really cool to. So now I'm assuming they've scrapped that. Now they're going to do a buddy cop TV show with Hal Jordan and John Stewart, I'm in for
good
it.
Good idea.
The only thing I slightly worry about is it's going to be based on Earth. Mm. By the sounds of it, and I want it to be based in the galaxy because you've got the whole galaxy. You could do a different planet every episode. Mm. There's an antagonist. You take him down next episode, next planet. Do that for like a season just to build the characters up. Bring Kilowog, bring Sinestro still as a Green Lantern. Mm. Bring Tom Array, bring the Guardians. Like, get this whole methodology done. I think they've been really scared since the Ryan Reynolds movie to do anything with it. And it's really frustrating because it's one of the best. It's like my second favorite franchise after the Batman franchise. There's so much
in in my mind, how I see them doing this is Hal Jordan is, what's the sector, Stu? He's the
2814.
2814. There we go. They found out that Earth is, like they said in the... Titan show, Young Justice, that Earth is just weirdly at the centre of all this weird shit. So they've decided that not only does 2814 need a lantern, Earth needs a lantern too. So they know that John Stewart is there. You've got Hal Jordan as the experienced Green Lantern training rookie cop, John Stewart on the beat. It's like Hal will be the lantern for the sector and John will be the lantern for Earth. And the two of them are teaming up to learn from each other. And in the process of doing so, they find a mystery because it's a detective show. You've got to find something like...
He said they find a mystery that's going to be part of the bigger story in all the other movies and TV shows, right? So, but it's just...
So, which is similar to what you get in like the comics where you've got like something that starts off in one comic or between like a couple of characters ends up leading into a bigger story arc. Like the example on that would be when was it Batman and Flash found the Watchman badge in the Batcave. Yeah. So you got the tub of that, and then that ultimately they start kind of like looking into things and it leads into the next big event, which was Doomsday Clock. Wasn't it? And
but I just worry, like you say, Stu, that grounding the Green Lanterns on Earth.
Maybe it starts off that way, but they should definitely, I say, you've got a whole galaxy to play with. You could do
you could make the core story that they're investigating requires them to be on Earth, but you shouldn't limit them to Earth. Because I agree, like the whole thing of Green Lantern is it's this epic intergalactic story that you can do.
An intergalactic police force. Yeah. So, like, they are there to help each other out.
They're an intergalactic police force, not Earth's police force.
Yeah, exactly.
We and do Tom Array's PD for that.
The sector next to them, right? So you can easily go to a planet to help Tom Array out. It just, and I hope they go to Oa at least a few times to just get that feel.
Even if
Oa
it's in flashback form, or you have Hal thinking about how to train John and think about how he was trained and how to do it.
He takes him to Kilowog, right? Yeah. Takes him to Kilowog. Kilowog trains him. That's how it works. He's the drill sergeant. I need a Kilowog in a TV show.
Kilowog has to be in there.
So excited for that show. That show, I hope, will make people realize how cool Green Lantern franchise is. I mean, you could go down the multi-spectrum route and bring Saint Walker in it from the Blue Lanterns. I mean, there's so many cool things.
Or even you could the underlying mystery could be a new color spectrum they've suddenly discovered or something. You know, or Sinestro's got the yellow power ring and that's causing problems. And you could start to bring that element in now. We said in the last podcast or the one before about how the doing 5 to 10 years now seems a bit weird. But if you're gonna go that far in advance, set up the War of the Light, set up all this stuff and get it all going early on so you don't end up with
Blackest Night.
Yeah, so you could
6-7 years into this, you could bring Blackest Night in.
You don't end up with Flash showing up in the middle of Batman v Superman for no reason. It's confused the crap out of everybody. But if you've introduced that now,
don't do crap like that. Some seeds on things.
Yeah,
don't.
Some things now.
100%. You can kill off characters through the thing and then do Blackest Night and bring them all back as Black Ring zombies. Oh, it'd be amazing.
Especially if you've had several seasons of a show to get invested in who these characters are and then you see them, like Hal sacrifices himself at the end of season 2 to save John and John takes up the mantle of Earth and 2814 and then Hal comes back as a Black Lantern and just starts wrecking shit and, you know, it's going to be...
He turns into Parallax like 4 seasons in and then you get Gal Reyna.
That would be so cool. And speaking of characters that we'd love to see in live action, natural segue right here. There is going to be a live action Booster Gold TV show, which is going to be awesome. That's so awesome. I don't know if it is going to be awesome, but it is so awesome that this is finally getting made. So clearly, James Gunn, thanks for being a regular listener to our show. You've heard us talk about this before. If you'd like to come on the show at any point, just let us know.
Well, you're outside his house waiting for you.
Yeah, go kick his door in.
Oh, yeah. Come in. Yeah. So anyone that listens to our show regularly, including James Gunn, knows that I like Booster Gold. I think he's called. It's a character
a cult hero, right?
It's fun. It's a character who... I put him in the same kind of category as Shazam in the sense that he was a character that it's crazy that it's taken so long for him to start to get more attention because they're both prime characters to bring into live action, to make a TV show or movie on, because they're very marketable. For Shazam, a kid that becomes a superhero, that's awesome. You're appealing to both the grown-up audience as well as the kids, and you've got boys and girl characters in Shazam as well. So it made a lot of sense, and we've seen it now that they've done it with the movies. I remember speaking to Michael Arslan at a point. This was years ago. He's the guy that owns the rights to Batman. I met him in a neighboring town, and I was talking to him about Shazam because this was before Shazam movie was made, but he had tried for a while to try and get a Shazam movie made after like Batman had been made. So if you watch any Batman movie, you'll see he's executive producer on all of them. And so he was trying to get a Shazam movie made, and Warner Brothers just wouldn't move on it because they said, their answer was, it's the same as Superman. We can't have him. He's the same character as Superman. Mm. And he's not the same character as Superman.
How very
there is similarity. Yeah, like there's similarity there, but it's not the same. Mm.
Yeah.
So anyway, great that it came out. Booster Gold... It's great because he's the underdog. Mm. You know, he's this washed up person from the future who then is a nobody, as a has been. And then he steals technology from a museum to go back in time and then has the knowledge of when things are going to happen through this technology and is able to then artificially make himself a hero. So you've got, it's everything you need for the typical hero's journey. It's right there. It's spelled out for you. And he's just a really fun character. Well,
I've because DC's Deadpool, right? Like
he's all in it for the women and the money, and the fame.
But he ends up
so cheesy.
The thing I've always liked
such
about
a sellout character. Yeah. There's so much potential for fun.
But the thing I've always
and
liked
the idea of James Gunn like leading this. I don't know if he's going to be. He's probably not making the show.
Yeah.
But with him like leading this, I think that. He's absolutely the right person. Like Booster Gold, James Gunn, this is a natural like it's team up here.
It's weird because the thing I've always liked about him was that although he was a loser in the future, he got the tech, came back to the past and was like, I've got all this tech, I'm going to become the wealthiest, greatest hero. And he's still a loser in the present.
Yes, exactly. He's still a loser.
But he does
still become a hero.
There's that episode of Justice League Unlimited where
he's a joke. Yeah. You know, and it's just what makes him so great.
Puts on cleanup duty and saves the world.
Yeah, like, the episode Jay Lee, where he's the background where there's this massive fight going on, but he manages to stop an even bigger threat when no one cares because it's just it's going on. But he still gets to go.
You could have Skeets, his little Skeets robot companion.
Yep, Skeets.
The most hilarious little artificial intelligence ever.
So
it'd be so much. Not only that, but real fun.
And, you can have him be
being all arrogant and then learns.
And we know that there is the Blue Beetle movie that's coming out as well.
Please, so give us Ted
we've
Cord.
Got the natural
Let's have Ted
team
Cord.
Up. Ted Cord would be the best. If we could get actual Ted Cord Blue Beetle, that would be awesome. But we're not getting that one at the moment. Mm. The Blue Beetle that's coming out isn't Ted Cord. It's
Put him in the Booster Gold show. Put him in the Booster Gold show like a mentor.
Yeah.
They work really well together.
Yeah, like, no, good point. He could still exist in the Beast of Gold show. Yeah.
But you've also got in more modern comics, they've had him teaming up with Rip Hunter, who everyone knows from Legends of Tomorrow, because the two of them doing time travel stuff would be great to sort of flit around on the edges of this new universe to see what's maybe dealing with Flashpoint, if they're still going to use that as a way to come into this universe and ripples of that. But that would tie greatly into what you said to you about him being the Deadpool, because he's not... he's not being fourth dimensionally meta. He's like, yeah. I know that Superman should be showing up at the Daily Planet tomorrow, so I'm going to be there to get a picture of him.
I know Superman is Clark.
That kind of stuff. So he's having that reference he knows in universe. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. He'd be a great way to tie in all the other characters. If they ever get to the point where they're going to start making characters meet each other and stuff, he would be the one to try and to bring that together. Because he knows a crisis is coming, for example. So he's the one that brings the Justice League together. That'd be such a cool twist.
We all know why they've decided to introduce Booster Gold at this point in time. It's because it means that at some point down the line, they're going to properly do the death of Superman solely so that he can do his one defining trait that everyone knows it for in the comics, getting launched into space by Doomsday. It's just like...
Very cool.
It would be great to get a proper Death of Superman movie done instead of cramming it into the final few minutes of a movie, to actually give it its due diligence and to do it right and have a proper, more comic book accurate version of Doomsday, which the Krypton TV show is the best version of Doomsday that we've had so far. So love that version, but you can still do better. I would love to see Doomsday done right. Not the abomination that was in Batman v Superman. That wasn't Doomsday.
I don't think it was Doomsday. I honestly, there's a bit in that film.
Well, Lex Luthor goes, Superman, meet your Doomsday!
And then dies and comes back in the next film.
There's a bit in there where the AI says it was decreed that the beast like that should never happen again. And he was originally made on Krypton, right? So that could not be in my head how it works. It's not so bad. Is that wasn't Doomsday? That was a reincarnation of Doomsday that they already made on Krypton. But I'm just make myself feel better about that.
Yeah. Anyway, the Krypton TV show did it great.
So I kind of make excuses for it. So I love the film so much. But I'm very excited. Like I say, definitely Green Lantern and Booster Gold. Super excited about it.
Looking for the casting in the next couple of months if they're going to start announcing this. I don't know when any of this stuff is set.
It'll be a long time.
Because all they've announced is the show titles and a little bit about them. They haven't said what the order's going to be apart from Superman being the kicker for the DCU in 2025.
Yeah, that's 2025, right? June 2025. And I think the Batman...
Wrap this up as well, just because you mentioned Superman, with everything that he's tying up and killing off at the moment, there was no mention about the Superman and Lois TV series, which is it's a great show. Love it. Tyler is my favorite version of Superman at this point. I got to meet him along with Ross. Me and Ross got to meet him at Comic-Con, and guy's awesome. Such a nice guy and knows the character really well. It was super cool. That TV series is awesome. I really want it to continue. But if he's making this point that there needs to be this continuity between the TV shows and the movies and the computer games and the cartoons, and he's already said that he's bringing in a new version of Superman, then only logical conclusion you can get there is that he's going to end this show. I just hope that he will likewise do the same thing that he did with the Batman and with the Joker, which is just give it the Elseworlds label. Just say, let it continue and just say, no, that's Elseworlds. That's why they can do their thing and we're doing different stuff here. Let the two exist, because we haven't had enough of this version of Superman yet. I want to see this has so legs to go on for so much longer. We could get so many more seasons of this show. If this level of writing keeps up and the production value, they're able to maintain it, then there's no reason to get rid of this Superman show. Let's just keep this going, please. James, as we said, I know you're watching the show. I know you're listening right now. So,
Save Superman and Lois.
For us, let's keep Superman and Lois around. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. And please come on the show and we'll talk more, about this. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap this up?
No, just super excited. There's some weird stuff, but the stuff I'm excited about is going to be really excited.
Seems to be a scattergun approach to what they're going to announce, but I think this was more of a reaction to the criticism he's been getting recently, he's got to put something out, and this is what they started with. So we'll see more as it goes on, but it's a very weird... It's not like the bold step forward it should be to announce the new universe. It's like, this is what we've got in production, so please leave us alone for 5 minutes while we figure out what we're doing with the rest of it. But like you say, there's enough in there that I'm excited about. There's a couple of movies, a couple of TV shows. We'll see how it pans out.
And there were some surprises.
Yeah.
There were things that we weren't expecting. Was not expecting a Waller TV show. Mm. Not sure who was asking for a Waller TV show.
James Gunn, apparently.
Yep. Was not expecting Booster Gold, but super happy. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and we got like, was not expecting a Supergirl movie. Was not expecting a Batman Brave and the Bold. Was not, or a Swamp Thing. The Authority. Yep. So there's a lot of stuff here that we're not expecting, but are super excited about this. I like that they're different. They're things that we weren't expecting. They're things that if you were to sit back and go like, oh, well, what movies should they do? These were not ones that we would come up with, and TV shows were not things that we thought that we would have come up with. So not to say we don't want them, just we're not expecting them, and I know I'm pretty excited to see these.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Me too.
All right, so that's it for this episode of Legends of Podcasting. Now, this is the third episode of a series of three episodes talking about James Gunn's plans for the DC universe. So you can go back and check the two episodes before this one, and let us know what you, the fans, think about what his plans are. Just let us know in the comments wherever you found this episode. Be sure to click that subscribe button. You can leave comments on most platforms. If you can't find it on where you are, then look for us on social media. Just look for Legends of Podcasting. We're on pretty much all of them. So just reach out to us. It'd be great to hear from you and see what your thoughts are on this universe. Are you happy with what's here, what they've announced? Are you disappointed? Do you think he has some kind of secret agenda that he's cocked up with Marvel Studios where he's going to try and sink DC? I read that on one on that bizarre conspiracy theory came up in one of the articles I read, that he is like this person that's been sent in to sabotage Warner Brothers and DC. For Marvel, I'm like, really? This is funny. Okay. Do you think that that is? If so, tell us, and please give us your reasoning as to that, why that is. But anyway, that's it for now. That's all from me.
It's all from me.
That's it from me.
Bye.